जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी उपजना वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय पिजना गिरिवर धारी यशोदानंदना ब्रज जन रंजना यशोदा अंजना यमुना तीरावनचारी यमुना तीरावनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी जय राधा माधव हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा राम राम हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे रामा राम राम हरे हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे रामा राम राम हरे 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 कृष्णा कृष्णा हरे हरे रामा राम राम हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे रामा राम राम हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे रामा राम राम हरे हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा हरे राम कृष्णा 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 हरे रामा राम राम हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे रामा राम राम हरे जय प्रभुपाद जय प्रभुपाद 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 जय प्रभुपाद जय जय प्रभुपाद प्रभुपाद जय प्रभुपाद जय जय प्रभुपाद 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 श्री हरिनाम संकीर्तन की जय शिल प्रभुपाद की जय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, 20th chapter, text number 12. Bhinnasya lingasya guna pravaho Dravya kriyakaraka chetanatmanah Drushtasu sambatsu vipatsu surayo Navikriyante mai baddha sauhradaha Bhinnasya lingasya guna pravaho Dravya kriyakaraka chetanatmanaha Drashtasu sampatsu vipatsu surayo Navikriyante mai baddha sauhrada Bhinnasya lingasya guna pravaho Dravya kriyakaraka chetanatmanah Drashtasu sampatsu vipatsu surayo Navikriyante mai baddha sauhrudah Bhinnasya lingasya guna pravaho Dravya kriyakaraka chetanatmana Drashtasu sampatsu vipatsu surayo Navikriyante mai baddha sauhrada Bhinnasya lingasya guna pravaho Dravya kriyakaraka chetanatmanah Drashtasu sampatsu vipatsu surayo Navikriyante mai baddha sauhrada So what to word meaning? Bhinnasya, different. Lingasya, of the body. Guna, of the three modes of material nature. Pravaha, the constant change. Dravya, physical elements. Kriya, activities of the senses. Karaka, demigods. Chetana, and the mind. Atmanaha, consisting of. Drashtasu, when experienced. Sampatsu, happiness. Vipatsu, distress. Surayaha, those who are advanced in knowledge. Na, never. Vikriyante, become disturbed. Mayi, unto me. Baddha sauhrada, bound in friendship. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace is Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Lord Vishnu told King Prudhu, My dear King, the constant change of this material world is due to the interaction of the three modes of material nature. The five elements, the senses, the demigods, who control the senses, as well as the mind, which is agitated by the spirit soul, all these taken together comprise the body. Since the spirit soul is completely different from this combination of gross and subtle material elements, that my devotee who is connected with me in intense friendship and affection, being completely in knowledge, is never agitated by material happiness and distress. The question may be raised that if the living entity has to act as a superintendent of the activities of the bodily combination, then how can he be indifferent to the activities of the body? The answer is given here. These activities are completely different from the activities of the spirit soul of the living entity. A crude example can be given in this connection. A businessman riding in a motor car sits in the car, supervises its running and advises the driver. He knows how much gasoline is used up and he knows everything about the car, but still he is apart from the car and is more concerned with his business. Even while riding in the car, he thinks of the business and his office. He has no connection with the car, although he is sitting there. As a businessman is always absorbed in the thoughts of his business, so the living entity can be absorbed in thoughts of rendering loving service to the Lord. Then it will be possible to remain separate from the activities of the material body. This position of neutrality can be possible only for a devotee. The word Baddha Sahurada, bound in friendship, is particularly used here. Karmis, Jnanis and Yogis cannot be bound in devotional service. Karmis fully engage in the activities of the body. Their aim of life is to give comfort to the body only. Jnanis try to get out of the entanglement by philosophical speculation, but they have no standing in the liberated position. Because they do not take shelter under the lotus feet of the Lord, they fall down from the exalted position of Brahman realization. Yogis also have a bodily concept of life. They think that they can achieve something spiritual by exercising the body through dharana, asana, pranayama, etc. A devotee's position is always transcendental because of his intimate relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, to remain always aloof from the actions and reactions of the body and engage in one's real occupation, namely rendering service to the Lord, can be possible only for devotees.
Narayanam namaskritya naram chaiva narottamam devim sarasvatim vyasam tato jayamudhiraye Nashtaprayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya Bhagavati uttamashloke bhaktir bhavati naishtaki Vishnaya vasudevaya devaki nandanaya cha Nandagopakumaraya govindaya namo namaha Om ajnanati mirandhasya jnananjana shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam jena tasmai shri gurave namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupah Kadamahiyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahaganalalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha Mavom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Adidanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shadvaita Gadadhara Shriva Sadi Gaura Bhaktavranda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna. This small note, actually either piche we have kept chandan and grinding stones. If anybody like to grind the chandan, they can grind also. Simultaneously, you can hear the Bhagavatam class. And here also fan also there. If you can comfortably, you can sit and grind.
special service from for Chandan Yatra. Hare Krishna. Seeking the blessings and prayers of all the Vaishnavas. So something to share on this verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. Beautiful section from 4th canto. 20th chapter. So the chapter flows like this, that now the scene is that just now the yajna, the sacrifice that King Prithu was performing, the 100th sacrifice, 100th sacrifice, that was he concluded in the bit, in between. So when Brahmaji came and requested, he stopped in between, and then Brahmaji explained the situation to Prithu Maharaj, and Prithu Maharaj agreed, and they completed by taking bath and by giving presentations to all the Brahmanas and all. That is 19th chapter, and the 20th chapter beginning. Now Vishnu comes with the Lord Indra. Indradev he brings, and then in the first 1 to 16 verses he speaks to King Prithu. Especially first and second verse says that he brings Indra. Here is Indra and seeking forgiveness from you for his act. So then Lord Vishnu continues to speak to Prithu. Especially he speaks some philosophy. So 3 to 12 verses speak about how jnana leads to bhakti. He starts with jnana, how the body and soul are different. What one should value in life. So what one should not be agitated by, and how one can be not agitated by. That knowledge is given by Lord Vishnu to Prithu. And then 13 to 16 he gives instructions, especially in terms of practical things that he has to do in his kingdom. So then the Lord goes on explaining about of course, then affectionate dealings between Lord and Prithu, 1722. Then Prithu Maharaj offers wonderful prayers. These are very celebrated prayers of one of the celebrated prayers in Bhagavatam. Highlights the pure devotional service. So then Lord departs. That's how the chapter ends. So now today's verse is the 12th verse. So Lord spoke many things about the philosophy. Generally, the whole situation was very emotional. King Indra was very envious, and he was trying to steal the horse, and the emotions of King Prithu and even the priests, they are becoming too angry. Their hearts were very much disturbed by the activities of King Indra. So the whole situation was very emotional and very turmoiling to everyone. Of course, when Brahma came and spoke about the duty of Prithu, then Prithu Maharaj very much satisfied, and he reminded that you are an incarnation, Shaktavesh Avatar, you are Supreme Lord. Your duty is to protect Dharma. So, but this Indra, because of activities of Indra, there's so much of irreligion is going on. It will increase if you don't stop. So please, he reminds his identity and he reminds his duty. Definitely Prithu Maharaj knows, but still, sometimes we maybe get caught. So, so Brahmaji requests and pleads, then Prithu Maharaj agrees to the fact. And then the yajna stops. But still the whole situation is very emotional there. Of course, then Lord Vishnu comes and speaks this philosophy. Of course, philosophy has different roles. different advantages when we speak about philosophy, especially when things become too much emotional, then rational understanding gives some satisfaction of the heart. Just like Arjuna was going through so much of emotional turmoil. Even many sections of the Bhagavatam also we can see there was, when there is a too much of emotional turmoil, if you want to bring situation little under control, we bring about some philosophical understandings, then things can be understood little more intelligent way. So of course, here Krishna, Vishnu speaks, of course, to understand the role of philosophy, especially in the bhakti context, we understand its role from an overall view point of view. And bhakti is a flow of heart with banks of philosophy. Of course, bhakti is in itself is full of sentiments in a higher stage. At the perfectional stage, it's just flow of heart with full of sentiments, and just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited, is of full sentiments to Krishna. But still, it's within the bank of philosophy. It's not crossing the Shastra. It's not crossing the rules and regulations. So especially in the practicing stages, we need to bank with philosophy. That's why we see if there is no banks, then it goes to Sahajiyatam. I mean, there is no any rules and regulations at all. So that protects our bhakti. The bank, bhakti is, this is His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj's statement. Bhakti is a flow of heart with the banks of philosophy. Both are required. I mean, my understanding is that reasoning to the head and a seasoning of the heart, both are required for bhakti, both are required in our practice. Reasoning to the head means we need philosophy, we need understanding, reasoning, analysis. So everything, intellectually we need to understand philosophically, and also seasoning of the heart. Of course, it's not just head. Our bhakti is more of the process of the heart. Prabhupada mentions many times bhakti is the process of the heart. So this philosophical section here, philosophy explains what is real. I mean, in the verses like 3rd, 5th and 11th verses, Vishnu speaks about how body is different from the soul. Soul is the substance and the body is the form. So philosophy helps to understand what is reality. It distinguishes between the illusion. So philosophy gives what is reality. And second point about philosophy helps us to what is real value? What need to be valued? Of course, in this section, in fourth verse and 6 to 12 verses, Vishnu speaks about the real value is not the worldly things, a house, I mean wealth, children, all these things, possessions that we have. All these things can entangle. So, but the real thing, really we need to value is the transcendental knowledge and service. So that's how some verses, especially Lord Vishnu speaks that what need to be valued. That's how this philosophy helps us. What need to be valued in life? So that's how these verses speak about the value of transcendental knowledge and service, not the material, worldly things and possessions, etc. Of course, there are many levels of helping. Philosophy helps us, but these are some of the points. Philosophy helps us in realigning our priorities. When we are in different turmoil or emotions, then philosophy helps us to prioritize what are our priorities, the main things. So Arjuna was also in turmoil. So when Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita, the philosophical section, many philosophical sections, Arjuna could prioritize, yes, my duty is to fight now. So similarly, Vishnu himself gives the priorities in 13 to 16 verses, what need to be done in his kingdom. He himself gives the priorities of a king. So that's how philosophy helps us in our life. whenever we are illusion, then not illusion exactly, sometimes we are illusion, sometimes we are in confusions. So those times we may know philosophy also, we might have definitely know a lot of philosophy, but when we hear again, that gives a lot of solace. Especially when we hear from the exalted souls. Though we may know many things, but still during the time of need, when someone, especially dear and friends or dear counselors, exalted devotees, when we hear from them, it gives a lot of solace. Of course, I remember that that incident happened in a plane crash in 2012. So yesterday I just going through that episode of in Journey Home, one passage I just read, how philosophy helps in terms of helping the situation to cope up. So especially how philosophy helps us to understand the situation. So Journey Within Maharaj, Zolnes Radha Swami Maharaj just gives this episode that how that plane crash happened, and after that he came especially to solace, and he took the section of Bhishma Dev. Bhishma Dev analyzes the causes of causes for suffering and all. So when we hear from the great souls, when we hear from like Bhishma Dev and His Holiness Radha Swami Maharaj, when we hear especially in the situations like these turmoils, when things are beyond our comprehension, it gives a lot of solace. Though everybody knows the philosophy, we are hearing from 10 years or 15 years from very long, still the situations are such that that material world is such that we are get caught in many things. So that helps a lot in prioritizing, in what need to be valued, what not, what is real and what is illusion. So like that. So this section, especially this verse, as we have seen, that a beautiful verse explaining the how we need to be transcendental. This verse gives both how, what is the nature of the material world, how it is always constantly changing. At the same time, it gives the solution how one should be aloof, or how can one can be aloof from all these changes, thereby the changes that brings the illusion or whatever confusions, etc. So this is just translation. I divided into three parts. That first Lord says that there is a constant change in the material world due to interaction of material modes of nature. That's the phenomena. We always see a lot of change, right? We can always experience there is a lot of change. A lot of change in terms of everything, social, physical, mental. At every level, there is always constant change. So, sometimes we always want change, but we want change for better. We want change for a betterment of life. But unfortunately, whatever we try to change for the betterment of life, they always, because material world is always going to degrade or destruction. But those things we want to change and keep it as it is, but they will not be as it is. So that's why we inevitably face frustration or confusion in life. So, but there is always change in life. So then Vishnu speaks that, but my devotee who is connected with me in intense friendship and affection, being completely in knowledge, never agitated by material happiness and distress. So that's how we need to be practice that to connection with Krishna, connecting to the spiritual knowledge. Thereby we can be aloof from happiness and distress. Otherwise, we always be toiling between happiness and distress, pleasure and pains. We always go through all these situations without being freed from this. So the purport, Prabhupada brings out a beautiful analogy also. How, though we are in the body, how we can be indifferent to the activities of the body? So that's why Prabhupada brings out this beautiful analogy. It's like everybody has experienced that traveling in a bus or traveling in a car, especially those who are having a business. As Prabhupada mentions, a businessman riding in a car, motor car, sits in the car, supervises running and advises the driver. He knows how much gasoline is used up. He knows everything about the car, but still he is apart from the car and is more concerned with his business. That's how he is aloof. He is sitting in the car, but he is always planning about his business. So that's why he is aloof from the car. So Prabhupada, Prabhupada's famous example of this car and driver is very famous to show how soul is different from the body. So as he is explaining that, as the owner of the car, as we focus on our business, especially here business, he meant that rendering loving devotional service, loving service to the Lord, a devotional service. When the businessman is absorbed in his activities, then he is aloof from the car. He's not at all disturbed. Especially, I have some experiences of His Grace Radhesham Prabhu sits in car, or I heard His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj also, while he was composing this journey home book. One pastime comes that driver was driving, but Maharaj was fully absorbed behind, sitting and typing in his car. So we have seen many devotees also, they are completely absorbed in their activity. His Grace Chaitanya Charan Prabhu also, we can see that he is always fully absorbed in his services. So external things, it doesn't matter. So here also Prabhupada is giving a clue that how we can be aloof from all these disturbance and distractions that may come upon us because of the changes in the external environment, by being absorbed in our services, being absorbed in either planning or executing. Either planning, we are trying to plan, or we are trying to execute the services, so that we can be aloof from all the material distractions. So here is the two points here, that by not connecting to Krishna because of the constant external changes, we are affected. By connecting to Krishna, in spite of external changes, we will not be materially affected. So just like not connecting to Krishna, let us suppose we are externally connected to the body. I'll just narrate my experience with this traveling experience only. When we are not focused or not absorbed in our activity, I was just traveling from my temple to one more center. So I went to bus stand and I boarded the bus. So it was a very small bus stand. Pune has many bus stands, but one is Shivaji Nagar bus stand, a small bus stand. So I went and boarded the bus to a different town. So because, generally in India we have small bus stands, but many buses are have to travel, and all the buses have to come inside and report, and they have to go back. So because the bus stand was so full that so many buses are standing behind also, but in which I sat, that bus has to go backward and take a turn to connect to the main road. So because many buses are standing behind, so this bus unable to take a return, reverse. So the driver is, many passengers are sitting and I am sitting, so he is taking the reverse. Because there is small gap, he is trying going forward and coming back. All the passengers are looking this side, and the driver is exasperated, and he's trying his level best to go forward and come backward. So everybody is also seeing how much is touching the buses and all. I'm also seeing here and there. So the bus took at least 15 minutes to come out of the bus stand. So many buses are young. So the driver was, after last, he came to the main road. Everyone sighed, ha, it's done for the day. So I was also, I said, It's a great turmoil we came. I mean, we overcame. So then I just reflected that, see, I was not caught in any kind of a panic situation with many people inside the bus. Right now, passengers are also not too packed also in the bus. I was fully, free in the seat only I am sitting. In the bus also, hardly around 15-20 are there in the capacity of 50. They were also not being packed in a pandemic or a kind of a crowded zone. They're also not caught. But still, because there is identifying with the body, with the bus. Because identifying with the bus, we are also feeling, we are unable to get out. That feeling is there. But the moment we get out on the on the main road, on the traffic, on the highway, then we feel, we are comfortable now. So that's so, we are inside the body when we are too much caught in the externals, and it's very difficult to come out of those situations. That's the feeling. I don't know whether you have that experience, especially when we get caught in the traffic, even on the highway or somewhere, especially on this bridge. When we're coming to Pune, Mumbai, this Nasik bridge, it's very tough. We feel a lot of irritation. But when we are absorbed, in our service or something that we want to do tangible, we don't even realize time, how many hours goes by. Many hours can go by. When we have, everybody has experienced that when we are absorbed in particular activity, we don't even realize the time at all. So that's how, by not connecting to Krishna, we are affected. But by connecting to Krishna, in spite of external changes, we will not be materially affected. So what affects? The more external change shakes us, the graver is the reminder that our internal roots are weak and undeveloped. So this is Chetanjan Prabhu quote. Nasato vidyate bhavo na bhava vidyate sataha. So how there is a constant change is there in an external world. But if we are externally affected, if these things are affecting us too much, then we should know, it's a grave reminder that our internal roots are weak and underdeveloped. So just like we are building so many buildings also, we are seeing now new foundation is coming up for our new ashram. So the foundation has to be strong. So then the building will not shake, even when there may be some things which may, just like storms or any building constructor or the person, engineer, always plans for the adversities. He sees, is there any possibility of earthquake or any storm, any great winds and all. In that future plan, they will lay the foundation. Though in a year, in 12 months, there may be one wind which may come very strong. But that engineer will plan for that situation. He sees that situation, how much is the in this area, there can be such as strong storms which can shake the building. So accordingly we have to lay the foundation, right? Otherwise, if you plan for 8 months, we don't know when that storm will come, or we don't know how much scale it will be. If he is not aware, then it may stay 8 months or 10 months. Then within a few years, if that storm comes or earthquake comes, then building is gone. The tree roots also, the example of tree roots. In order to be strong, the tree has to have a strong roots. So that's how if we want to be not shaken by the external changes, we need to have internal roots. So what do you mean by internal roots? Yeah, we are connected, especially as practicing devotees, we need to internally connected. That's what we talked about, the philosophical help that philosophy gives, that connection to the internal roots or practices. So how to connect to him? This is the main point that Prabhupada is bringing out, that So we understood that we need to connect to him in order to cope up with situations externally, because that is the nature of the world. Even Kunti Maharani says that vipadasantuta shasvat tatra tatra jagadguru. So because there will be always constantly changing and there will be lot of turmoils. But still, if we are connected to you, we are never bothered. That's how Kunti Maharani's great feeling and great experience. So how to connect? Yeah, through knowledge and understanding, that we keep on reading and hearing, and especially Radhanath Maharaj gives this example that just like a person sitting in the house or in a building, though he is sitting, but there could be storm or there could be rain, so many things happening externally. But if he realizes, understands that he is not affected in the home, though there may be so many things are going on outside. Sometimes you may have experienced that you are inside the house, and after 2 hours if you go outside, and then there might have been rain also. You are not aware that there was rain. So that's how, if a person is realized inside that he is not this body, he is a spirit soul residing in the body, he is not affected too much. At least this knowledge gives some solace. That's how even many sections of the Bhagavatam, even Hiranyakashipu explains the philosophy of body and soul. Kamsa also explains the philosophy of body and soul. So even just the knowledge also gives some solace. What to speak of experience and realization. And second, how we need to connect to him? Through serious responsibilities. So Maharaj, His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj gave this beautiful class on this same verse. Almost half of the class he spoke about responsibilities. How we can be transcendental though we are staying in the body. As devotees, unless we have serious responsibilities, we have serious commitments, that vows that we took, unless we have this sense of responsibilities for the roles that we have, we cannot be cope up with these external changes that we are going through in life. So we take responsibilities, serious responsibilities for our own sadhana, namaruchi, and Vaishnavas, and Jivadaya, whatever capacity that we have, to whomever we can, that we need to take responsibilities, and that should be more serious responsibilities in these three areas. Of course, we see Prabhupada life, though there are so many external changes politically, socially, physically, in his own life, but he was more concerned about the business. The moment, of course, this year is the 100th year, when he came in touch with His Holiness, His Divine Grace, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, where he got the instruction. Exact date and month and we don't know, but this is the year, 100 years before, 1922, 100 years before he came in touch. The day he came in touch, and the words that the conversation that he had from that day onwards, in his heart he had inspiration, great conviction that I need to help him. I will help him, and I will do whatever it needs. So that's how he was concerned about the business. First, of course, he did a lot of business, tried to do a lot of business and to help in establishing different matas. And as we all know the whole story, but he is always concerned about the business. Prabhupada writes in Antalila, one who identifies himself as a follower of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu should feel like Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who said, Iha sabara kon mate haive nistar, how will all these yavanas be delivered? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was always anxious to deliver the fallen souls because their fallen condition gave him great unhappiness. This comes in a conversation with Haridas Thakur and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself asked, how all these conditions will be delivered? So in that context, Prabhupada writes that one who identifies himself as a follower of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one should feel like that. Of course, it includes oneself also. when we are speaking that. So that's how we need to be concerned. First, with this point, we will try to conclude that that the size of the problem is inversely proportional to the size of the purpose. So that's how we can transcend the external changes that which bring a lot of problems. Adhyatmik, adibhautik, adidaivik. All the changes will always bring so many problems. But the size of the purpose will decide the size of the problems. So Prabhupada was asked, Prabhupada, we want to be with Krishna. Our purpose is to be with Krishna. Then why Maya is so strong? My purpose is to be with Krishna, then why Maya is so strong? Prabhupada replied immediately, your purpose is not strong. So that's how the size of the purpose decides the size of the problems. So examples, can you say some examples? Any examples that who had the great purpose which could overcome all the problems? Dhruva Maharaj. Yeah. Prahlad Maharaj. So many problems. But his main purpose is to be remembering Krishna, glorifying, sticking to the instructions of his spiritual master, Dhruva Maharaj. Prabhupada, that's the, actually just now we discussed the purpose of his commitment and purpose and the responsibility that he is feeling inside heart. So many problems, especially in traveling 38 days in the ocean. The purpose is so strong, nothing could check him in executing the orders of his spiritual master. All the Vaishnava Acharyas, yeah. We can see in many Vaishnava Acharyas that the purpose is so strong that all the problems of the world are insignificant in front of their purpose to serve Krishna and to connect with Krishna. So by this we can definitely, at least we may not eliminate everything, but at least we may not be affected by them. Affected in the sense that that should not affect our service. At least it should not affect our enthusiasm for our service. So if we can take care of these things, then we can be safe to execute in our devotional service. So today is also a disappearance day of Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur. So I will just we will just read a few verses from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Madhuryena Samapayet. I owed you a lot of things. I'll just let us read some few verses glorifying Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur. He glorifies our Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, glorifies Vrindavan Das Thakur very much. He's always, he says that I am just taking some remnants from his whatever he left and I am trying to chew on them. The magnanimous of writing of these two books are really, really contribution, I mean, very, very. Both in terms of establishing the philosophy also, in terms of giving the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes to the world, whole world. These two books are very, very crucial. We can understand that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur wrote a commentary on Chaitanya Bhagavat. That's the profound books. Ore Mudha Loka Suna Chaitanya Mangal Chaitanya Mahimayate Jani Vesakal. Oh fools, just read Chaitanya Mangal. By reading this book, you can understand all the glories of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Of course, Chaitanya Mangal, later named it as a Chaitanya Bhagavat. Krishna Lila Bhagavate Kahe Vedavyas Chaitanya Lila Ravyasa Vrindavana Das. As Vyasadeva has compiled all the pastimes of Lord Krishna in Srimad Bhagavatam, Thakur Vrindavan Das has depicted the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. Roji, can you recite verses?
वृंदावानंदास कैल चैतन्य मंगल यहाँ श्रवण नाशे सर्व मंगल.
Thakur Vrindavan Das has composed Sri Chaitanya Mangal. Hearing this book annihilates all misfortune. Of course, we know the pastime of... we have only short description of Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur. How he was born to Narayani, the famous story of how Lord gave... Chaitanya Mahaprabhu always used to give his remnants to Narayani, Mother Narayani. And the great son of Mother Narayani is our Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur. So this pastime comes in Chaitanya Bhagavat, that how Chaitanya, of course, that pastime of how the external situations were very much fearful, of course, connecting to the topic that the Muslim king and the Muslims were trying to attack and trying to destruct or destroy or cause pain to the people of, especially Hindus and all. There is a lot of fear in that area, in that situation, Navadvip. And everybody is criticizing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his followers, or because of the you people, and everybody is suffering. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu one day came very ferociously, and he just knocked the door of Srivas Thakur, and Srivas Thakur was worshipping Narasimhadev. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then exclaimed that, about the pastime we hear from the pastime that how he exhibited his 400 form and how he spoke to Srivas Thakur that I will make there was conversation between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srivas Thakur how he will show to the people that I can. Of course, he asked that let mullahs and everyone can they can prove their own scriptures from their own scriptures that how these are all, how they can avoid all the fearful situation. But they cannot do all these things. But I can make, without my sanction, without my permission, no one can do anything. So that's how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives assurance to Srivas Thakur. In order to give assurance, to show assurance, he orders Narayani, Narayani, please chant and cry in Krishna's name. Then Narayani goes in ecstasy. So that's how the whole pastimes happened, and everybody becomes very much peaceful and pacified, and very much glorifying Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that's how he gives a lot of assurance in that fearful situations. How by connecting to Krishna, we can be really be not affected by all the situations. So that's how that famous pastime of Narayani comes, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu giving assurance. Maybe we'll read till 40 slokas. 40th sloka, yeah.
Chaitanya Nitaira Yata Janiye Mahima Yate Jani Krishna Bhakti Siddhantera Sima.
By reading Sri Chaitanya Mangal, one can understand all the glories and truths of Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda and come to the ultimate conclusion of devotional service to Lord Krishna.
Bhagavate yata bhakti siddhante rasara likhi yachena iha jani kariya uddhara.
In Sri Chaitanya Mangal, later known as Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur has given the conclusion and essence of the devotional service by quoting the authoritative statements of Srimad Bhagavatam.
Chaitanya Mangal Suni Yadi Pashandi Yavana Seha Maha Vaishnavaya Tatakshana.
Even if a great atheist hears Sri Chaitanya Mangal, he immediately becomes a great devotee.
Manushya rachite nare aiche grantha dhaniya Vrindavana dasa mukhe vakta Sri Chaitanya.
Yeah. The subject matter of this book is so sublime that it appears that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has personally spoken through the writings of Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur. So here Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami glorifying Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur. So finally he offers obeisances. Vrindavana dasa pade koti namaskar aiche grantha karite ho tarila samsar. I offer millions of obeisances unto the lotus feet of Vrindavan Das Thakur. No one else could write such a wonderful book for the deliverance of all fallen souls. Of course, he goes on glorifying him many verses. On this auspicious day, we offer and pray for His mercy at the lotus feet of Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur. Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.